Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, the 12th Hour Paul Scully, Southern Southern Congregation. Now it's out of the 12th Hour in the Oregon, Texas. Today is June 9, 2023, it is the 21st day of Sidon 2027. We will start our first service day with a song and then with a...
No tears in heaven. Tears in heaven, the sorrows given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness, and we shall join the happy band. No tears in heaven, sir. No tears, no tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears in heaven fair. No tears, no tears up there. No tears in heaven will be known. Glory is waiting, waiting up yonder. Where we shall spend an endless day. There with our Savior we'll be forever, where no more sorrow can dismay. No tears in heaven fair. No tears, no tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears in heaven fair. No tears, no tears up there. No tears in heaven will be known. Some morning yonder we'll cease to ponder what things this life has brought to you. All will be clear, loved ones be dear, in heaven where all will be made new. No tears in heaven fair, no tears, no tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have soul. No tears in heaven fair. No tears, no tears up there. No tears in heaven will be known.
Judgment and the Harvest. We're on Volume 1, Book of the Shepherd Rod. This is track number 3, Viti Hara. Introduction. It is the crowning work of our salvation and of the sitting up of the kingdom of the Yahshua upon the earth. Yet the investigative judgment is one of the least understood and most mystified and confused Bible subjects of the age. Were it not essential unto our salvation, the enemy would not have expended every possible effort for the enveloping it in the darkness. Imperative then is the unremitting need for the searching of the scriptures as for the hidden treasure, and for the beseeching of the Yahweh for the guidance of his spirit and the order rightly for the understanding of this all-important subject. For the vain in vain though any search for the truth, unless the motive be for the learning and for the doing of the will of the Yahweh. Hence, if any man says Yahshua will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of Yahweh, John 7:17. Since the subject of the judgment is taught in the types and in the parables, and since Yeshua explained that his teaching parabolically is so that only his disciples may know the mysteries of the kingdom of the heaven, Matthew 13:11. Obviously, therefore, none but his followers can understand the whole truth. For the kingdom of the heaven, he says, is like unto treasure hid in a field, and of which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of the heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of the great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it, Matthew 13:44-46. In this parable, Yahshua clearly sets forth the present truth as the indispensable condition for the establishing of his kingdom and supreme effort of the indispensable condition for the entering into it. Thus none declares the spirit of the prophecy that those who have just fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. To every soul will come the searching test: shall I obey Yahweh rather than men? For the decisive hour is even now at hand. Are our feet planted on the rock of Yahweh's immutable word? Great Controversy, page 593. Let us come out of the stupor of the presuming on the Yahweh's great, yet regarding him responsible for any consequent issue of our life. He has perfectly done his part in fully charting the narrow path to the kingdom. Now let us do our honest best to follow therein unto the end of the way, for the joy that awaits us, but never shall we do so save in the returning unto the old landmark by the forsaking of the devil, who has turned Yahweh's people from the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6, into a way of which seemeth right unto a man, but the end of which are the ways of the dead, Proverbs 14:12. The judgment and the harvest, and testimony, parable and ceremony. In the light of the testimonies of the prophets, we begin our sermon now, having ended our prayer thought. Since by some the position is stoutly maintained that this all-important truth cannot be established by the Scriptures alone, let the reader therefore give attention unto what the Bible says. I beheld till the thrones were set up And the Ancient of the Days did sit. His garment was white as the snow, and that's Yahweh the Father. He's the Ancient of the Days. And the hair of his head like the pure wool. His song was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as the burning fire. For a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Daniel 7, 9, and 10. In this scripture are set forth four pertinent facts. Number one, the thrones were not present prior unto the opening of the scene in vision. Number two, the Ancient of the Days came and did sit when the thrones were set up. Number three, then the books were opened. Number four, all of which the throne's Ancient of the Days and books reveal a judgment scene, and since the books are obviously as a focal point in the scene, the question naturally arises, what is the reason for the books? For the fundamental unto a correct concept of the judgment is a correct understanding of the nature of it and the reason for the books. As to the latter, John the Revelator said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the Yahweh, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Revelation 20, verse 12. Unquestionably, therefore, the books contain both the names and the records of all who are to be judged. And naturally, these names and records were entered while each person was living. Thine eyes, says the psalmist, did see my suffering, yet being unperfect and in thy book all my members were written, which in the continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Psalms 139:16. For the Yashir shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Psalms 87:6. This does inspiration reveal that each one's deeds are chronicled with the terrible exactness in the books of the heavens, and that in the reason for the books herein, the reason for the judgment, that not every name that has been entered and the Lamb's books will be retained there, is borne out with the said conclusiveness by the following scripture. And the Yahshua said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, or the Yahweh the Father, I will blot out of my book. Exodus 32:33. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh shall take away this part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. Revelation 22:19. According to the books contain the names of a mixed multitude, both those who stood firmly in the faith and continued patently unto the end, and those who did not, said the Yester, he that shall enter unto the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24:13. But thou, who do not endure, shall be lost. And these are they likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, they immediately receive it with the greatness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when the affliction or persecution arises for their word's sake, immediately they are offended. Mark 4:16-17. O Yahweh, Yashur, the Son, the hope of glory of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Yashur, the fountain of the living word. Jeremiah 17:13. Alright, so there must come a day of the reckoning, a day when the names of those who are found unworthy of the eternal life will be blotted out of the Lamb's book of life, a proceeding for which the only correct term and the investigative judgment. And now that the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of the Yahweh, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of the Yeshua, 2 Timothy 2:3. For if it the judgment first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of the Yahweh? 1 Peter 4:17. Since therefore in the fullness of the time the judgment will begin in the house of the Yahweh, the church, each one is confronted with the imperative need to know how names are retained in the book at the moment we accept Yahshua as our personal Savior through the word of the truth. At that supreme moment, Yahweh forgives us our sins. And the hands stood stained by Calvary and inscribed our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And simultaneously, the pen of the angel begins in the heavenly ledger, the life or death chronicle of our Christian experience, separate from our past. Even the very hair of your head are all numbered. Matthew 10:30. Therefore suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before. Okay. It says, for the angel, that it was an error. Or it says that. Sin. Now to say thou before the angel that it was an error, Ecclesiastes 5:6. For in the investigative judgment the books are open, and the deeds done in the flesh are brought to light for a final reckoning before the ancient of the days. All who have stood fast unto the end shall then forever have their sins blotted from the books and their names retained therein, while all who are not overcome will then forgive, forever have their sins retained in the books and their names right at their farm. Always man's greatest test, and one which has ever involved almost an instantaneous decision, has been in the unrolling of the scroll and the eclipse of a past lesson by a new one present here. On every such occasion, each one has had to decide, shall I heed the new and unpopular truth and walk in the light, in this light, joining with those who are despised by nearly every religious leader in the land, or shall allow myself to be deterred by the decision and counsel of the ministry in my church. When the judgment begins and the books open and the cases of each generation pass in the succession, and the review before the judicial tribunal, some generations suffer an almost wholesale blotting out of their names instead of their sin. When the generation of the Yahshua's first advent is weighed in the balance of the sanctuary, a whole nation will be found wanting, and their names will be wiped from the book. And so, in the varying degree, it has been at the introduction of every message and every age, different periods in the history of the church have each been marked by the development of some special truth adapted for the necessities of Yahweh's people at that time. Every new truth has made its way against the hatred and opposition. Those who were blessed with this light were tempted and tried. That's General Conference, page 609. Accordingly, when a message comes in the name of the Yahshua unto his people, no one may excuse himself from an investigation of his plan. Testimonies on Sabbath School Work, page 65. Lay aside all prejudices, self-opinion, and ideas of men who bear not the mark of the inspiration, and who say, in effect, by their actions, I am rich and increased with goods, and have neither nothing, truth or profit. Revelation 3:17. For the Bible can be rightly explained only by the Spirit who dictated it. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, that you may be established in the present truth. Whosoever blasphemeth against the Holy Spirit speaketh evil against the message, it shall not be forgiven him, for it is the only means whereby he may be saved. John 16:13, 2 Peter 1:12, Luke 12:10. Consequently, the greatest danger of the people has not been the lesson unto error, but rather the rejection of the present truth. If a message comes, says to Yahweh, that you do not understand, speak things that you may hear the reason the messenger may give, then produce your strong reason, for your position will not be shaken by coming and contact with the error. Testimonies on Sabbath School Work, page 65 and 66. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10:2. Clearly, therefore, any attitude which disposes one not to make a candid investigation of any message that purports to be additional truth must inevitably bring ruin upon oneself, while on the other hand, he who accepts the truth that fails faithfully to live and to proclaim it thereby brings upon himself ruin also, that again of which Ezekiel warns when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block, a message before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, that his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul, Ezekiel 3:20-21. But the wicked shall be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with it. The righteous, Psalm 69:28. This solidly established the foregoing position on the investigative judgment makes all opposing positions unfounded conclusion. Because of the erroneous belief that the Yahweh's throne has always been in the sanctuary, and that the Yahshua, after ascending on high, sat there at the right hand of his Father, men have not put forth every effort possible to prove that the Yahshua entered within the veil immediately after he left his disciples. There is all such efforts, howbeit over so well-meaning in the interest of the truth, will not put forth by the mind inspired, not by the spirit of the truth, but rather by the crude conception. We must therefore diligently entreat the Yahshua for the promised Comforter to lead us into all the truth and to save us from being presumptuous and from finally taking things for granted and forming conclusions without digging beneath the surface. We have also a more short word of the prophecy, says the Apostle Peter, for unto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man. The holy men of Yahweh spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:19-21. For the wise reader, therefore, will henceforth cease giving place unto the human theories and speculation, which tempt him to the uttermost to make flesh his arm. He will instead attend diligently unto the Bible prophecy and to the inspired interpretation, and will learn therefrom that the sanctuary is the Yahweh's temporary throne room. Since the earthly beings themselves, having never been in heaven, are naturally strangers to heaven's realities, 1 Corinthians 2:9. Then in order for the Yahweh to make the heavenly truth known unto them, he must reveal it by the means of the earthly reality with which they are familiar. Hence through the sanctuary work on the earth has seen the sanctuary work in the heaven, Hebrews 9:1-9. Indeed, the sanctuary above being the pattern of the one below, the services of the former are therefore refiningly revealed, and the services of the latter. And the fact that the earthly sanctuary was appointed as a place for the confession and for the forgiveness of sin shows that the throne room and the heavenly sanctuary is only temporary. From it, while sin exists, Yahshua carries on the work of removing from the universe sin and sinners. And this light is turned clearly, and turned clearly shows that not until after sin came into the universe could the sanctuary congruously have existed in the heavens. Now let's explain the Revelator about 96 A.D. upon being shown the throne in the sanctuary, and behold, a door was opened into heaven. And the first voice which I heard were as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. It says, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat upon the throne looked like a jasper. I saw the orange throne, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and a sight like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were 24 elders, or 20 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in their white raiment. These were representatives from the Old Testament time. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thundering and voices. And there were 7 lamps of the fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of Yahweh. And before the throne there was a sea of the glass, like unto the crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of the eyes, before and behind. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb that had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of the Yahweh, sent forth into all the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of the many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, Revelation 4:1-6, 5, 6, and 11. Here is brought to view a full scene. On the one hand, before the throne are the 7 lamps burning, and the land as it had been ascent, showing that the throne was set there for the serving in the time of the probation, and not from the candlestick, represents the light of the truth in the church, while the blood of the Lamb is atoning for the sinful being. On the other hand, upon the throne sits the Ancient of the Day, the Judge, surrounded by the jury of 24 elders, 50 angelic witnesses, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of them, plus the four beasts, who being redeemed out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, Revelation 5:8-9, are therefore symbolical of the saints. All those whose sins will be blotted from the books of the record, just as the beasts of the Daniel 7 are symbolical of all the kingdom which will perish in their sin with the Lamb, our advocate in the midst. All this shows a combined mediatorial judicial work. Now, so far, we see that when John, in the vision, beheld the door, the veil, as it opened to the most holy apartment of the heavenly sanctuary, he was permitted to look there within, and that the things which he saw would take place hereafter from his time, and showing thereby that at the time of his vision, about 96 A.D., the most holy apartment was closed. In addition, unto this, we shall now see from the Daniel's prophecy that the judgment throne was set up in the most holy apartment of the heavenly sanctuary after the little horn of the Daniel 7 came up. I considered the horn, says the seal, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in the horn were the eyes like the eyes of men, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments were white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his heels as a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand ministered unto him, and 10,000 and 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened, and there were 7:8-10. These verses reveal that after the judgment was set, and the books were opened, the Son of Man, Asher, was then brought into a position not at the right hand of Yahweh, the Ancient of the Day, but near before him. Daniel 7:8-10 and 13. Both John and Daniel's vision reveal that the throne in the sanctuary was set there from the beginning of the creation of Yahweh, or from the days of Moses, or yet from the hour that the Yahshua ascended on high, or even from the days of the pagan Rome, that indeed it was not set up until after the fall of pagan Rome, when the little horn of the nondescript beast came up in the days of the ecclesiastical Rome, Daniel 7:7, 12, 21, 22. That's where there is, there in the sanctuary, therefore, is Yahweh's eternal throne room. Okay, it says, because the sanctuary throne was not in the existence in the days of the early Christian church, therefore the throne upon which Stephen saw Yahshua at the right hand of Yahweh, Acts 7:56, could not have been in the sanctuary wherein is the sea of glass, but rather in the paradise whence flows the river of water of life, and on either side of which is the tree of life. Revelation 22:1-2. Very obviously, therefore, the throne which the Stephen saw and the throne is the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb, the throne of permanent and eternal, round about the glory seat are no beast, no witnesses, no jury, and before it is no candle and no blood to be offered. In short, it stands not in the sin-laden sanctuary, but in the paradise. It is the sovereign administrative throne on which the infinite eternity, eternally governs his immortal, sinless, and being. Under this throne, then, which is from the everlasting to everlasting, Yahshua ascended, and thereat sat down at the right hand of the Father until the time came when, in the fulfillment of the Daniel's prophecy and of John's revelation, sometime after the little horn, power came into the existence. Both he and his Father showed to the sanctuary throne, or moved to the sanctuary throne. On the latter, he does not sit as a king at the right hand of Yahweh, but rather before it does he stand both as a sacrificial lamb, Revelation 5:6, and as an intercessor, Daniel 7:13, pleading for the sinful human being. Hence his mediatorial work began first in the holy, then in the most holy. In the earthly sanctuary, the high priest, typifying Yahshua, officiated first in the holy of heavens throughout the year. Then upon the day of the atonement, the day of the cleansing of the sanctuary, and for the judging of the people, he officiated in the most holy for one day only. This twofold service signifies that in the heavenly sanctuary, the high priest Yahshua must necessarily first officiate in the holy apartment up until the antithetical day of the atonement, then during that day he must officiate in the most holy apartment before the throne. Thus the earthly services to repudiate the ideas that Yahshua entered the most holy apartment of the heavenly sanctuary immediately after his ascension. Third paradigm, the ceremonial system reveals that from the time that Yahshua sat on the right hand of the Yahweh, Mark 16:19, where the river of the water of life is to the time that he and the Father moved to the throne in the sanctuary where the sea of glass is, Daniel 7, 9, 10, Revelation 4, 6. He officiated in our behalf as a high priest in the holy place, Hebrews 9, 12. And then at the same time, conjointly with the Father on the eternal sovereign throne, the Son of Yahweh, the Father, and of the Lamb. For he ruled the sinless universe. From the foregoing facts, clear and distinct, the only tenable conclusion to be drawn is that the Yahshua, maybe after his ascension, rather than entering within the veil in the sanctuary, sat down at the right hand of his Father in the paradise, and from there carried on his work in the holy apartment of the sanctuary. How clear already the light of the truth of blessed shining forth on this all-important subject of the salvation so long shrouded in the dense fog of the human theory and speculation, and how solid the resultant vindication of the spirit of the prophecy, reaffirmation of his position on the subject, that the sanctuary's questions stands in the righteousness and truth, just as we have held it for so many years. Gospel Workers, page 303. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of the reward. For you have need of the patience, that after you have done the will of the Father, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that will come and will not tarry. Hebrews 10:35-37. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which is Yeshua pitched and not man. Hebrews 8, 1 and 2. For Yeshua is not entered into the holy places made with the hand, which are the figures of the true, but into the heaven itself now, to appear in the presence of the Father for us, Hebrews 9:24. Indeed, now once in the end of the world, as he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, Hebrews 9:26-27, the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14. Cleanly, therefore, the judgment is to begin and the sanctuary to be cleansed, not before but after the fulfillment of the period for those appointed to die. For the judgment being consistent with the records found in the books of the heaven, the names, therefore, of those who are found unworthy without the wedding garment on, I brought it from the books. Thus is the sanctuary cleansed, speaking of the commencement of this work of the judging and cleansing. The angel said unto Daniel, and the 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Daniel 9:14. Since the cleansing accordingly takes place at the termination of the 2300 days, and since it is, as we have seen, the judgment that takes place at the end of the world, Hebrews 9:26, consequently the termination of the days and the beginning of the mediatorial judicial work of the Yahshua are upon the authority of the inspiration itself, time until the end of the world. Hence, consecrate conclusively the 2300 days do not, and in the days of the Antiochus, of Philip, of Epiphanes, some peace they do. This untenable position on the subject, strong with the other similarly unsupportable able views on it, therefore is necessary in order for the establishing of the very date of the cleansing, first dispelling the confusion concerning the 2300 days. Those who are in the opposition to the doctrine that the 2300 days have the terminus in the end of the world are among themselves a strong variance, among themselves at the strong variance over when the days do supposedly end, just as they are over the truth of the multitude of other doctrines. Fully evident, therefore, is the fact that none of them have the truth on the subject, and yet, in spite of this fact, they fail to see that the spirit that has led them into their present state of the schism, doctrinal difference, strife, and confusion, unparalleled in the history, cannot possibly be the spirit of truth, who alone can lead them into the truth of the 2300-day prophecy. Thus they continue darkening Christendom with what they imagine and proclaim to the light, to be the light on it. In the effort to support their position, they bring in the Septuagint, the Vulgate, and the English Revised Version. These and the order named variously rendered the number in Daniel 8:14 and 20 as 2400 days, 2200 days, and 2300 evening morning. This difference alone is ample proof that the renderings are not the sound results of the exact literal translation of the verse, but rather are the product of the interpretive transitions of it, engendered of the theological preconceptions on the subject. Nevertheless, even these renderings as they stand lend such feeble plausibility unto the theories held in the opposition to the doctrine that the 2300 days terminate in the end of the world, as to compel the theorizer to read into the Daniel 6:14 the word sacrifice so as to transform the evening morning phase of the text to read evening morning sacrifices. Next, on the grounds that there were two sacrifices a day. Well, there were two sacrifices a day, the morning and the evening, at the 3 and at the 9. So they split the number of them in half. And the number being 24, 22, and 23, depending on which version they use, they get respectively 1,200, 1,100, and 1,000, or 1,150 days. For this adding to and cutting down, they then boldly put forth in the truth of this theory, although there is no escaping the crystal clear meaning of the evening morning when viewed in the light of the Genesis 1-5, which is every Bible student well known, knows can only mean a 24-hour period. Both the morning and both the night and the day, and which has nothing to do with the sacrifice. Day 20, therefore, the number 2400, 2200, and then interpolation of the world of the word sacrifice are the then results of the false interpretation of the Daniel's prophecy or the discrepancies between the two figures is due unto the difference in the dates necessary to work out the different ideas on the church, exposing both the ambition and the fate of those responsible for the vain attempt for the placing of the third pyramid of the prophecy Yahshua declared unto Daniel, and the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves for the establishing of the vision, but they shall fall. Daniel 11:14. This is, though the endeavor of these robbers of Yahweh's people to make the vision fit their ideas is doomed to the failure, yet in their blind self-confidence, they still try their best to establish it, even going so far in the effort as to make the writings of the Josephus seem to speak as a sacred history in support of their theory. And indeed, it's so came to pass, says a Jewish historian, and it passes with the most common use, that our nation suffered these things with the Antiochus Epiphanes, according unto Daniel's vision. And what he wrote years before they came to pass. Antiquities, Book 12, Chapter 5. Though Josephus does not even remotely allude to the number of the days mentioned in Daniel 8:14, yet because he does apply the vision to the work of Antiochus Epiphanes, there in effect takes him as a prophet inspired to interpret the scriptures, being merely a historian, though, and not a prophet. He accordingly, in the writing of the history of the Jews, made only a historical application of this similarity, which he saw, the similarity that he saw between Daniel's prediction and the Antiochus work, and such was well within the province as a historian. But his not having the gift of the prophecy forbids Yahweh's people from accepting his application of the scripture as authoritative and dependable. From this sort of the resting, juggling, rationalizing, and explaining away of a simple fact, the candid reader will see unto what length men are going in the order for the dodging of the revealed truth that they do not like, and to lock arms with the private theories in their election. True, instead, is the same. Give a man a theory and the facts will come trooping after. with the mist of the air, not the depleted hand out, with the mist of the air now dispelled. Our way is clear to proceed and ascertain when the 2300 days begin and end. This brings in about sisters, our contacts us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
It's not an easy road that we're traveling to heaven. It's not an easy road, we're traveling to heaven. Oh, many are the thorns on the way. It's not an easy road, but the safe Lord is with us. His presence gives us joy every day. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. But Yahshua walks beside me and brightens the journey and lightens every heavy load. It's not an easy road. There are trials and troubles, and many are the dangers we meet. But Yahshua guards and keeps so that nothing can harm us. Smooth the rugged path for our feet. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. But Yahshua walks beside them and brightens the journey and lightens every heavy load. Though I am often footsore and weary from travel, though I am often bowed down with cares, a better day is coming when from him the glory will rest in perfect peace over there. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. But Yahshua walks beside me and brightens.